Welcome, dear listeners, to Coffee and Uchiokeke. I am Selma Uchiokeke, and my co-host is Tanzin Lavelle. We are excited to be joined by our guests today from across the Atlantic Ocean. He was heavily influenced by Uchiokeke during his upbringing and maintained that relationship even after moving to the United States, where he practices as a naturopathic doctor. Dishik Izuchukwu is also the founder of the Izuchukwu Center in Nigeria and a successful consultant who has made significant contributions to the development of the Nimo community and the Nigerian public at large. Welcome to the podcast, Dishik. How is the weather today in Washington, D.C.?
Awesome. It's an awesome day, beautiful, bright. So I think it's about 85 degrees, mostly sunny. It's a beautiful day today. Thank you.
I love that we're all in different parts of the world. I'm dressed up with fluffy, warm clothes on because it's freezing cold and misty where I am. Almost in a different climate.
Nigeria. A lot of rain.
It's a pleasure to be talking to you today. And let's start somewhere near the beginning of this story. How would you describe your relationship with Uchiokeke when you were growing up?
Great question indeed. Professor Uchiokeke was my uncle from my maternal side of my family. Growing up, I had countless hours of time spent with him at his Asalet Institute home, which he founded to not only showcase his works, but to serve as an educational hub for art historians, researchers, and a school to train young artists. He was a larger-than-life personality to me, full of wisdom, gentle in spirit. I had most memorable time with him, learning and appreciating my culture and history under his tutelage. It was a great, warm relationship, a student-professor type of relationship, but also a relationship that was more of a father-son relationship, which I learned a lot from him growing up.
Really interesting, Dishik, that you sought him out. And that is one of the unique things about you, how you seek out these people that you learn from and you engage with. With Uchiokeke, what memories do you hold dear from that time?
As a man of deep thoughts, I'm always a curious, inquisitive young person that wants to learn. He was very deep, very unique in his thinking, his artist in history. Most of the time that I spent with him at the Asalet Institute was a time of great deep introspection. He brought me closer to home to understand the richness of my culture, my people, my history, and how to integrate that into who I am or what I've become. The memories I hold there with him were so deep and so personalized and helped me form in my worldview how my life is evolving at the moment and the kind of things I hold dear. I would say that those memories were what drew me back to always think about coming to Nimo to do something. And when I shared the ideas I had with him about this triple center, he was so elated about it and was very encouraging for me during that period of time. So there's a lot of memory there for me to hold, and I still hold them dear to my heart today.
It amazes me, the more conversations we have with different people whose lives were intersected with Uchiokeke, the more I realize what a kind of universal man he was. He had these deep conversations, as you mentioned, with people from various walks of life and various interests. You're a naturopath, you're interested in healing, other people are interested in art, whether it was politics or whatever it was. He was able to have those conversations across all of those different topics. I'd love if you could share with us and the audience what you do as a naturopath, and in particular at the Confluence of Hope, your center in Nimo, and what interested you in getting into that kind of relief work in rural communities in Nigeria.
The memories with my big uncle, Uchiokeke, was really a bandage that has continued to inspire me and fuel my perseverance in continuing to embark on what I do today, which I consider to be a legacy project. On the side of healing, what he was doing, the lifestyle he was living, a very simple natural lifestyle in a community where nature and life was integrated together. It was just so easy to understand the value of that and to help me to shape my understanding. My background actually was engineering, along the way, drifting to that area. It became natural. And then in my investigation, I found out that my ancestors were medicine people. And it was so natural for me to gravitate into that area. Just looking at the art impressions and his thinking style and his understanding of the community, the deeper intent of how value asset that we have in our central Brazil, and the things that were not made known to me, those were some of the things that directed me into thinking deeper into the value of the Africanness, the Igbo-ness, and what we hold dear, and the way that people were able to live back in the days, which, of course, in modern times, were not really brought to the open. So I would say that it hasn't been easy, but his inspiration helped me to look into those ways of life for me. Healing, appreciation of our people, value for herbs, and the area of herbology, which is something that I hold very dearly. The various ways that certain things can be done, and looking at the medicine, which is surrounds my family, and how the modern medicine grew out of those ancient herbal remedies, and looking at the intersection, the nature of healing, nutrition, all those things were things that helped one to stay healthy. And it was something that I felt was so commonsensical to see that this is the way of life. It's true health, true natural healing, true nutrition. The body regains its health. And the relationship with him was very great inspiration for me. I share this just to understand how history, nature complements wellness and see that in a way of value alignment that bring out those values in me, those deeper understanding of what I am or what I became.
Would you say that the relationship with Uche Okeke, for instance, made you go deeper into tradition, into the community, and at what point did it intersect with modernity, so to speak, picking up those new scientific advancements, even in medicine itself? And while we talk about that, you've mentioned some broad insights you got through your relationship with Uche Okeke, but then do you recall gaining any further broader insights from Uche Okeke's theories?
We had quite a long conversation deep into the night and all that. I have a deep value-based connection and response to his work in meaningful ways. Looking at his art pieces, it made me feel a sense of presence in him in an emotional connected way. Looking at some of the pieces I saw at the Astral Institute, and it made me feel somehow you can't even explain these feelings. I would say that I'm a lover of art, a major part of my life, and has been that way. Meeting Uche Okeke helped me to realize just how much I love nature, love tradition, customs. And I saw him a method of self-expression and creativity that was a doorway to my imagination to explain some of the things I could not understand without explaining those intricacies. His ability to express emotions, mood, stories in a medium, how his aspect of his work was extremely vivid in his imagination, how he was coping with problems, bringing out a bit of adventure into routine lives, helps me to kind of have this interest and impacted my worldview in many ways. I can say that intersection with him through arts helped me to see myself, my emotions, my understanding through his works, his designs, his storylines, and all those kind of things, and brought into me a sense of value that appreciated my origins, my ancestry, to dig deeper. On both sides of my family were medicine men, and in my research, I found out some of the things they did back in the days. And I said, wow, this is quite phenomenal. And maybe somehow those ancestral genes were part of who I am. Having trained in the U.S. and traveling around the world, I was missing out on some aspect of me that I didn't understand. But with intersection with Uche Okeke, it brought those things to me to say, yes, you have this part of you. You need to acknowledge it and use it and value it. And in doing that, opened that whole wide world for me about things I've missed. The more I learn, the more I see that, wow, there's so much to be learned. And I would say that it's a lot to do. Observing his simplicity, his life, his vision, his person, how he lived in the community in peace and tranquility was so, so encouraging and so inspirational to me. He's such a great man, living this place at peace and seems to be in touch with nature. And that formed the thing of, this is the way to really live life in full. and in fullness of what it's all about. This lifestyle was a great inspiration to me. How he was able to live in the community, the things he was able to do, the relationships I saw him interact with different people, observing how he was in touch with nature. Most of the time we're outdoors, walking around the facility, looking at the various things, and how he was able to see the plants and the trees, and he was able to kind of seem like he's speaking to them or basically watching them in a way. It's like there's a community of plants, and there was so much there for me to grasp.
That's interesting, because nobody has actually brought out that aspect of him. Did he discuss any of his theories with you?
Definitely, yes. The impressions, I know that he told me about his experience in Zaria, growing up back in the days, some of the things they did. And I think there was a work there called Something of That Nature. Then there was also another massive work there, which was a huge masquerade of some sort. And so many other things that at the time was just kind of trying to grab so much stuff to learn from him. Those things, he was able to communicate to me in different ways. I know that he brought out a lot of lithographs of things, drawings, to show me so many things from his archives. And a lot of things of that stuff really helped me. And also the architecture, the nature of his lifestyle, the things around his environment, the ambient, the woodwork, the sculptures, all these things were very fascinating to me. There were things that were very unique and very inspiring in many ways. In my opinion, on a variety of matter related to me on a sustainable pathway of how things can be done. And I would say that he was able to kind of provide me some direction and communication while guiding me in the way to see how these things can happen within the culture. When I spoke to him about my interests, the kind of things, he saw that as something that was complementary to the Asale Institute, that yes, such a thing would be so great to have, because what Asale will become, somewhere where people can have a place and be able to be in an environment where they have fullness with the Asale Institute, the museum, the environmental aspect, so many things he wanted to do there, the school for the children, that his youth center would be a complement to that. He has inspired me to work towards a common goal of community building, to leverage my interest in arts and philanthropy, restore order, presence, and a variety of resources, and a collection of experiences of what he was trying to do. So I would say, in emulating his personal vision for me to live a life of balance and harmony, I'm also able to pursue my passion while prioritizing my physical, emotional, spiritual health as well. I am actually working towards creating a lifestyle that allows me to try in all areas of life and to make a positive impact in society and improve people's lives. As I make life simpler, more meaningful, in his honor, I'll continue to be a light, not a roadblock for others in the community. I will use whatever private victories unselfishly I have in trying to create value for the community. And these were part of the inspirations and the things I learned from Uchok Jeke as a person.
I love that, the way he would have those kind of conversations that you got a sense of being entrusted with a mission of some kind, but it would come from you. That mission of yours, maybe you could just describe what it is that you do at Confluence of Hope for the audience.
Confluence of Hope is an integrated community center, and I will consider to be a resource center that provides the community in a rural setting access to information, both in the technology side and also in the community cultural and traditional side of it. Most importantly, it will be an environment that we want to inspire young people to really think out of themselves, more to the fullness of what they were created to become. So this Jupiter Center has so many functions, both in philanthropy, but also in educational, and with other dimensions of things in giving as well, resource center for the community, to empower the community youth and the community people to have access to most of the things that will not be available to them. And that is, in a nutshell, what the Jupiter Center provides for the community. Our job there is to serve the community, to add value to the community, to try to bring light into the community through education, cultural awareness, spiritual awareness as well. It's also a place where community will find value and meaning in how to live a life of substance, a life that has some meaning. So basically, that's what is Jupiter Center brings to that community.
That's wonderful, because you're balancing doing that with running a practice in Washington, D.C. It can't be easy to balance the two things. It's testament to how big a mission that is for you to give that back to the community. Being a family affair, it must also be lovely to keep your foot in both worlds, as you like.
Yeah, definitely. I have four grown children, and I wonder what is their role in this world. It's my meaning that they should have an understanding of where they came from, who they are, their ancestry. So the Izuku Center bring those two worlds together. There was nothing for the youths to see other than to come sit in their homes, eat and drink, and just have a dull life. The youths can come in and have something of excitement. Their goal is to integrate with the local community there, so that there's a communication going on. There's an exchange of ideas, of culture, of understanding. So that center has been able to bridge that gap, that a lot of young people in the US, Europe, Germany, they want to come over the years. A lot of Caucasians, Koreans, families that have allowed their kids, maybe younger, some 18, 19, 20, 20, about to 45 years, some of them, but mostly young people in their 20s, I would say, yes, to come there for just a two-week session to just do a medical mission there. And I tell you, once they go back to their various locations in the US and Europe, their parents will call me and say, what did you do to my child? They are so transformed that they have so much purpose and meaning to live life. And all of them want to come back again because we make it so exciting to them to see culture, nature, realness of life, all intersecting in a place, and also providing with the comfort they need so they're not handicapped to operate in that community. So we created a safe haven where these kids can come in, live, do their program, be themselves, mix with the community, where they can give back and learn also from the community. At one time, we had about almost 40 young adults, Europeans, that came for an event. And they were staying in there, and it was the best time of their life. We had events there. They left very encouraged. It's something of wonderment.
And these kids are families that are so used to living in modern cities in Europe, America, Asia, and then they come to rural community. It has the comforts of the normal comforts, but then again, it's a much more simplified lifestyle. And I guess that is why they get really impacted and the kids go back. Because these kids are about what age?
Very inspiring indeed, yeah. So it's encouraging. And the more we see that, the more we know that we needed to do this because it was a missing piece that was not available. In fact, as we speak, I have so many people that want to come there. Some mayors from the U.S., some legislators, some people of high ranking that really said, look, I want to come there. Just want to come. A lot of people want to come and serve. You have a lot of professional doctors, all kinds of people here that want to come there to really say, yeah, I need a certain way I can come and do something that just provide the right place for them to do that. We're going to have a flood of people out there who want to come to place. And some of these are new timers who haven't traveled before outside their locations. So that first impression, that experience leaves them with something of wonder that, wow. So they're leaving this first world and they're coming to this third world and they see, wow, there's something. There's a commonality there. People are people. It's just that we have different value systems and they're trying to learn, understand, and see their peers in different conditions. They tend to go back to appreciate what they have and they know what the meaning of life is and why they're here, what purpose they're for. And they give themselves to something bigger than just what I want for myself and what I need. So this is a transformational environment and vision that I think inspiration from relationship with Professor Chu. Thank you.
You haven't told us how you came about the Institute Center to start with.
Initially, my intention there was to build an industry at the location where the Institute Center is currently situated. And then I scrapped that idea and said, look, we need to do some far-reaching community impact. The more I noticed, I grew up there, left there at the age of 16, and I needed deficiencies in that community. And I said, what can I do to make a difference? So I said, okay, everybody cannot travel out of that community to experience what I've experienced. So I need to see, to bring my ideas, my knowledge, whatever it is, to this community to try to minimize the gap, the difference between people in that community and those of the more advanced communities. If I need to just live there, come there, holiday, live, and I have nothing. I said, that doesn't mean anything. I'm not going to spend money building all this just to come there for 1 or 2 month vacation and go back. I need to have a community-wide interest, something that not just for me and my family, but for everybody.
So I can call you an Nnukwu Mall in short. Can you explain to our listeners what Nnukwu Mall actually is and what importance that holds for you?
Mall is an Igbo word, and it's a name for a traditional Igbo masquerade. It is meant to embody both the spirit and the human world where there's a coexistence of some sort. In the past, Igbos regarded the mall as the means of maintaining peace and order, judging cases, reprimanding Igbos in the community. Because a mall is not seen, although it's supposed to be a human in a covered regalia of some sort, but they speak out as if spirit was speaking because you don't know the face or the entity of that individual. So the mall play a role of law enforcement agent, and no one was thought to be more powerful than they were. And whenever they appear, they're in human shape and attitude, but rather exhibit a supernatural and empowered either by the gods, ancestors, or the spirit. So the masquerade, in effect, is regarded as a spokesperson of the gods, and as such cannot be seen by mere mortals. So while entertaining, though, they dance, they do exhibition, people laugh and enjoy all the human feats and, you know, exhibitions of all sorts. The masquerade also became a traditional norm and value in the community. So looking at this, of the nature of the masquerade, as a spiritual being, a cosmic force of highly interhuman existence, with activities that bring some kind of force order into the community. Well, Igbo religious worldview has three different dimensions. The sky, which is a place of where the God resides, it's supernatural. Then you have the stars there, which is called Papandu. And then you have the earth, which is where the humans live. All these dimensions bring the mall to become something of larger than life. Respected a community, have a place of honor. Basically, I could not seek to become the Nnukwu Mall. The Nnukwu for me becomes something that someone who doesn't live at the level of average, but goes beyond that to bring value to community, impacting lives in minor ways, in bigger ways, and doing something great out of themselves.
That's what it meant to Uchiokeke, who you said was the one that introduced the concept to you.
He brought a legacy of tremendous value to that community and to the world around, because I know that a lot of people have benefited because of his words, because of his vision, because of what he has put down and was able to do. I saw tremendous value, and I'm so happy that his vision, what he's meant to bring to the community, continue to bring light into the community up to this day. And what you guys are doing to enhance that has given me tremendous joy to see that his legacy will not extinguish after his death, and that continues to live on. Thank you.
I love that both he and you came from that rural community, but you weren't, although you were, you both international men, international people, and in business and in influence, but those rural communities are where you did your work as well. So I think there's a temptation in modern life to see the big cities as more important than rural areas, as where everything happens, where the most influential people go and do their work, and the rural communities get left behind. You're going back to the wisdoms in those rural communities, the traditions, and you're going back to do your work of legacy building in those rural communities. And I really love that. I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about the importance of being in those rural areas and having your influence there?
Well, thank you so much. Great question indeed. The rural living, for me, offers so much benefit, which include, but not limited to, peace and quiet, less traffic, less noise pollution than the urban areas. I've lived in Washington, Los Angeles, all the big cities, Atlanta, and London, Mannheim. And I can tell you, this is a lot of difference. So the more distance between homes in rural cities, for example, and that provides you access to nature. So you see forests, farms, it's more affordable to live in the rural area because you can do a lot more with your resources than being in the city where you're paying rent and surrounded by everything you got to buy. But here you have more space, larger gardens, ideal for different things you want to do. And when I am at the treatment center, I looked around me, I see forests, I see valleys, I see so much nature. It brings me closer to creation, indeed. So the rural area creates a strong sense of community. In one setting, the lower pride, better mental health for people, less stress, the peace, the tranquility. Each time I'm in that presence, I just feel so connected that I don't want to leave. I want to stay there. And I feel at peace and I love it.
Also, yes, that's just what I was going to say about thinking. The serene is very important. Really being able to think deeply. If you're somebody that really wants to leave something behind, for instance, you need to keep working on your intellect. That's why all these citadels of learning are also quite serene. You have to be able to put away all those distractions and focus deeply on what's important. This could be part of the reasons for finding those remote areas, getting more in touch with nature, simplifying your lifestyle. Both of you are also people that moved between countries. He was well-traveled, just like you are. You've gone to so many countries, and both of you kept meeting new people. That was something common between you two. And it all seems very exciting. What is important to you about embracing the international?
My global travels have been a great learning experience for me. It had afforded me the opportunity to embrace cultural differences around the world. And I am where I am today in my awareness, in my knowledge base, in my understanding because of those travels. And it has helped me to dispel negative stereotypes, personal biases I may have about different groups of people. Actually speaking, experiencing cultural diversity has helped me to recognize and respect ways of being that are not necessarily my own. In interacting with other people globally, I have been able to build bridges of trust, respect, and deep understanding across cultures. Travel is one of the biggest educational tools that need to be encouraged by the world, because when people are in their limited domain, environment, there seems to be oblivious of other people. When people come to NEMA, this Drupal Center, some of these kids that never left the U.S. anytime in their life, they are blown away. Wow, this is Africa. I'm in Africa. I look at this, I look at that. And then you connect them. They say, people are people everywhere. Just the understanding that we have, or maybe the training orientation that limits our ability to connect with each other. Embracing the international has been greatest asset for me that helped me to build beautiful relationships globally. In South Korea the other day, we had so much cultural food, different invitations to different families. In Japan, it was different. All the places I've been to, there's been so much richness that keeps me like, I want to come back here again. Each place I go, I carry my own culture and say, hey, you need to come. And I tell them what we're doing, they're excited to come. Everybody wants to come. I said, no, let's come, let's go together. Let me know when you're ready. We're there, I'll be with you so we can experience it together. And that is what the world needs to do. It's been a great experience for me.
Now it's a global village and you can actually have a wide reach just being in one corner because you can use technology.
I see technology as one of the greatest gifts that God has given to mankind to be able to minimize the time and the distances and to bridge the gap between different people. So you can learn a lot of things in one location by not living and experiencing what's happening in different parts of the world. So the internet has been a very great tool indeed for me in connection, because when I travel around the world, the way that I keep in touch with the relationships I have around the world is through the internet, through messaging one another, sharing information, exchanging pictures, all those kind of things. We're able to stay in real-time communication, so there's no loss in time. So you continue to stay engaged. Like I said earlier, it's about building bridges of trust, respect, and understanding across cultures. And the internet is the tool to do that. We share it, we use it properly.
I so agree with you. I live in a rural community as well and work in a tech industry and work globally, have clients globally. And it's a wonderful thing both to be able to travel and to be able to use technology to your advantage. And I think it was something also, both of those things that Uchiyo Keke was also very interested in. And it makes me think of his initial ideas around the Asele Institute, did he share with you his sort of first vision for the Asele Institute during your time together?
What I learned from his intentions is a place that he designed to be an important vehicle for conveying African history, spirituality, social custom, and identity. So I would say that Asele Institute represents a symbol of rich African history, culture, and the continent as a whole, and was a place that he designed to bridge the gap between different cultures and promote cross-cultural understanding. So the significance of his work in the community and society can be seen in how he was being recognized globally and what he did around the world, because I knew where many years back people that came from some other countries to do their postdoctorate there and the various things he did. I think it's just a place that his vision was to the African to have an influence around the world, and he needed to set that place as a team of symbolic, I would say, function for that purpose. He was able to change the narrative where the European art was not defining what art means, that also the African dimension meant so much. And to realize that over history and time, that most of the African works actually influenced European works. Because if you look at the Cubism, the Faucism, the Expressionism of that period, the intricate designs, deep symbolisms, and how these things were able to convey African history, spirituality, custom, identity, you will see that Asele seemed to bring all those things into semblance, and being who he was and how it was over the years was able to bring African history and put it on the map and put it where it needs to have its relevance in history of art. Definitely his vision now encapsulates into what the Asele vision was.
So what legacy do you believe Uchakeke left behind, and what impact do you believe it has?
You guys will know he's probably considered to be a father figure in the history of modern and contemporary Nigerian arts. So Uchakeke left a legacy that is quite larger than life, I would say. And he invented into the modern vocabulary the concept. His I would say, the Igbo in himself brought out some of his ethnic group, bringing them into formal exposure to art sensibilities from all over the place, and was able to bring all that Africanness into what we have today. But saying what he will be notably or known mostly was for the introduction of the Uli concept, which is became an international language or word of art expression. So the legacy of Uche left behind is quite huge. And I think it's mostly in the people that great artists today that he inspired. And for me personally, I'm also a legacy of him because his inspiration is part of who I am today and formed part of my orientation towards my rural involvement in NIM. So there are so many people that were influenced by Uchakeke.
What are some of your current projects that you're very passionate about right now?
Right now, at the Uchakeke Center, I will just zero in on that. We're the phase one of what we're trying to do, providing the platform for educating the young minds in the community and empowering the youth to engage in agricultural knowledge-based ideas. Also, trying to help about health. We are also discussing now about water, rectification of old water projects, because we realized that part of health is a lot of tied forward all in disease, waterborne diseases, is lack of potable water. It's unfortunate that the world is, we say, 75% water, but most people are lacking water. There's billions of people that have no potable water around the world. So we want to embark on water so that there'll be in our community down there in NIMA and other communities to initiate potable water availability to everyone. It should be accessible to everyone. It should be a fundamental human right that everybody should have potable drinking water. Globally, we have influences in Kenya, in Uganda. We have several affiliations of people that we, through our works, that inspired. We also talk to people in Cameroon. So through my personal relationship, we've actually supported a lot of other organizations.
You've talked quite a bit about your legacy, but can we have it summarized, sort of, what legacy would you want to leave behind?
It's about our family, our children, our work, what we do, how does it all tie into everything? It is about leaving an impact on community in many small but meaningful ways. So our community may be rich because there's a lot of positive things going on there, but there are also a lot of need out there. And it becomes for us to be introspective and look at how we're going to involve ourselves and engage ourselves, being intentional about what we do. So the question I asked is, are we thinking about our passion as to work in the community? What are we going to do to stay consistently involved? So I believe in intentionality as teaching to where I can leave a legacy within myself or the community around me. So I am passionate about it, about helping people who may not have enough food and not currently investing in agriculture to help people so they can consistently provide for their food sufficiency. I also have passion about education for young people to enrich their minds so they can live to the greatest potential. I just want to leave a legacy rich in love, understanding, and create a place where people can feel to live their life fully and make the impact that they would like to make in the world, bring their gifts to the world. So my legacy is a legacy of love in the community, because I believe with that, people can do a whole lot more for one another. So,
Dushek, it's been such an interesting and inspiring conversation with you today, and especially because I think you're the kind of person who you tackle things that other people leave to governments to do. It's too big a problem for me to take on. Somebody else must fix water. Somebody else must fix agriculture or hunger or health or whatever. If everybody was as brave as you and saying, I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to do it from the community I come from the community I'm currently living in. I'm going to tackle it from both sides. I'm going to do what I can. It's such a beautiful and inspiring way to be. And I think a lot of people listening will take courage from listening to your words. From my perspective, I'd like to ask you a funny question to bring out the artist in you at the end, to ask you to describe for us visually, since this podcast is called Coffee and Ucho Keke, ask you to describe visually what the ideal picture of you enjoying a coffee with someone looks like to you.
Wow. This sounds like a romantic question. A picture of having coffee with someone, for me, invokes intentional relationship. There's something magical and incredibly comforting about cuddling on a cozy sofa, holding a warm cup of coffee in your hand, and talking, you know, taking that first blissful sip together as you converse with one another. It's, for me, it's like a date or simply spending time together and having a conversation to get to know someone better in a low-key setting that is less intimidating, of course, less expensive as well. So enjoying a cup of coffee together implies a genuine interest in exploring relationship. But there's also a wise saying that says that the best thing in life are coffee with friends, family, and laughter together. So a brain full of coffee and a heart full of love. Good friends are like good cup of coffee. They are warm, inviting, always making you smile. So coffee with friends is like capturing happiness in a cup.
I do hope that we're able to stimulate that guests and audiences, that warmth that Dushek describes so vividly. Thank you so much, Dushek, for your time. Thank you, Tamsin. And thank you too, dear listener, for tuning in on this episode of Coffee and Ucho Keke. I enjoy seeing how we tell the stories of how theories can turn into new realities, how it's our own efforts that change lives around us for the better.
To everyone here at this coffee meet, permit me to say thank you so much for taking your time with me for coffee. It's been a heartwarming, exciting time with all of you. And I really enjoyed our conversation and learning more about the art world and its global impact. It is also reassuring to have someone like Salma taking up the mantle of leadership and being a consistent source of life for the family and keeping the rich legacy of the father going. And I'm truly touched and immensely grateful that the Asala Institute and the Ucho Keke Legacy Foundation is in good hands with all of you. We remain a unique embodiment and structure designed and headed for amazing daughter Salma to advance his rich legacy. Thank you so much. It's been a great time together.
Thank you again, Sheikh, for your time. And for our listeners, for more information, please visit uchakekelegacy.com and you'll find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. See you next time on Coffee and Uchakeke.